Welcome to North Christian Church's audio blog. I'm Pastor Ed Collins, the author of this blog. This week's blog, dated March 3rd, 2023, is titled, What is Biblical Discipline? When people hear the word discipline in a familial context, a certain kind of pain and suffering often percolates up in the soul. For example, when a child is disciplined, it typically involves some form of punishment, whether emotional or physical. In either case, said discipline implies discomfort. I think most of us would agree that when we hear of a child being disciplined by their parent, it makes us cringe a little on the inside, even when we know it's for the benefit of the child. The Bible speaks of discipline in a much grander and profitable way. Discipline in the Bible always presents itself with a clear line of sight to the intended outcome. In other words, unlike our fleshly tendency to think primarily about the pain and suffering associated with discipline, in the Bible it is always presented as a vehicle and or a catalyst to spiritual growth. Proverbs 3:11-12 reads, My son, do not despise the Lord's discipline or be weary of his reproof, for the Lord reproves him who he loves, as a father the son in whom he delights. Proverbs 15:5 reads, A fool despises his father's instruction, but whoever heeds reproof is prudent. While it's obvious that God will discipline his children, and it will undoubtedly be painful in some way or another, the focus ought to be on why, not necessarily what. Though the what is important, that's the cringeworthy aspect which seizes our attention, it's secondary to the why. Furthermore, we can't always identify what exactly we've done, as in, you know, cause and effect, that would warrant suffering, even though the suffering is real. So this gives biblical discipline an additional yet critically important element. For example, the audience in the book of Hebrews was disciplined, yet that discipline came in the form of external attacks on the church. You might argue, how can that be construed as discipline when it seems to have been unrelated to anything the church had done wrong? In fact, it seems they were being chastised for being righteous in Christ. Hebrews 12:3-13 reads, Consider him who endured from sinners such hostility against himself, so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted. In your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood. And have you forgotten the exhortation that addresses you as sons? Quote, My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor be weary when reproved by him. For the Lord disciplines the one he loves and chastises every son whom he receives. It is for discipline that you have to endure. God is treating you as sons. For what son is there whom his father does not discipline? If you are left without discipline, in which all have participated, then you are illegitimate children and not sons. Besides this, we have had earthly fathers who disciplined us, and we respected them. Shall we not much more be subject to the Father of spirits and live? For they disciplined us for a short time, as it seemed best to them. But he disciplines us for our good, that we may share his holiness. For the moment, all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant, but later it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. Therefore, lift your drooping hands and strengthen your weak knees, and make straight paths for your feet, so that what is lame may not be put out of joint, but rather be healed. I purposely highlighted verses 10b through 11 because that's the why regarding discipline in this passage. Don't miss it. Instead of God saying, Oh, you poor babies, everything will be just fine, just hang in there, my dear children, he says, in not so many words, receive these attacks as my way of sanctifying you, of putting you through the crucible to refine you, to make you holy, and ultimately bring glory to me. If we hyper-focus on the pain and suffering, we miss the big picture. Discipline is required. Peter said it well, 1 Peter 1:6-7. In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Biblical discipline isn't something we ought to recoil from. Is it cringeworthy? You bet. Quote, it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God, Hebrews 10:31. But again, that's not the point here. The point is that God's discipline is for sanctification's sake, so that his children become disciplined like athletes in his ways. That's what holiness is fundamentally after all. We are set aside for God's purposes. We are born crooked and perverse in need of straightening out. Think about it. When is being forced to change our ways ever comfortable? Even if God were to ask nicely, most of us are far too lazy and/or arrogant to budge. So, in his divine wisdom, God uses whatever means necessary to change us, including our enemies. You know, if you're a parent, you know how frustrating it can be to inform a child of what's truly best for them, only to have them ignore you. Afterwards, you have to watch them crash and burn, then try your best not to taunt them with, "I told you so." A good parental heart desires what is best for their children. That is, for them to see the why instead of just the what. It's a difficult job because parents are flawed. Quote, for they disciplined us for a short time as it seemed best to them. Hebrews 12, 10a. Which is why we are warned not to discipline to the point of exasperating our children. Ephesians 6:4 reads, fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Strong's on the word discipline in verse 4 reads, the whole training and education of children, which relates to the cultivation of mind and morals, and employs for this purpose now commands and admonitions, now reproof and punishment. You see, biblical discipline implies the cultivation of a person's being, which is a far loftier goal than what the unidimensional perspective of punishment might suggest. Godly discipline is designed to iron out the wrinkles in a person. The painful aspects are merely the means God uses to achieve his end goal. It's about building godly virtue in an otherwise wicked creature. Heat and pressure are necessary in this process. This is why there are so many analogies to metallurgy in the Bible. 2 Timothy 3:16 through 17 reads, all scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training. And that Greek word is the same that's translated discipline elsewhere. And for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. Discipline and training are nigh synonymous in the Bible. If a believer were a piece of wrinkled cloth, the word of God would be the flat iron. Jesus famously said, quote, sanctify them in the truth, your word is truth, John 17:17. He prayed to our Father in heaven that the word be used to straighten our paths. This straightening exercise involves acute and temporary pain, similar to a dislocated limb being put back into place. Once the joint is functioning as it ought to God's glory, it's as the writer of Hebrews said, quote, so that what is lame may not be put out of joint, but rather be healed, Hebrews 12:13. We are disciplined by God, the what, so that we become disciplined in his ways, the why. To understand the value of discipline, we must be trained to focus on the why, not just the what. This occurs more and more as we mature in the faith. Hebrews 12:11 reads, for the moment, all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant, but later it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. As we mature, we begin thanking God for all suffering because we know that he's ordained it for our own good. Even if we can't trace it back to something we've specifically done to, quote, deserve it, we may rest assured that if we are called to endure it, it must be good. Romans 8:28 reads, "And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose." Thanks again for listening. If you enjoyed this, please visit us at nccdighton.org. That's nccdighton.org. Until next time, God bless and have a wonderful day in God's matchless grace.